The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Lily Idefo. In the headlines, President Mahama again assures Ghanaians of government's resolve to address energy crisis as he inspects three power projects in Tema and Kum. Senior high school students to pay additional fees to fuel generators due to power crisis. ACE investigative journalist Anas Aremeyau Anas welcomes measures outlined by Gender Ministry to curb maltreatment of children in orphanages. Jordan executes two Iraqi militants, including a female jihadist, in retaliation for the killing of his pilot by ISIS. And football. Host nation Equatorial Guinea and Tunisia fined $5,000 each for March offences at AFCON 2015. First, a summary with Priscilla Oswanson.
In a move to resolve the current energy crisis, President John Dramani Mahama has inspected three power projects in Tema and Kum, where he appealed to Ghanaians to continue to be patient as government put in place measures to ease the challenge. ACE investigative journalist Anas Aremeyau Anas has welcomed measures outlined by the Gender Ministry to curb the maltreatment of children in orphanages. Meanwhile, a sociologist has called for stronger social protection policies. Jordan has executed two convicts, including a female jihadist, following the killing of one of its Air Force pilots by Islamic State militants. Officials said the woman, failed suicide bomber Sajida al-Rashawi and Al-Qaeda operative Ziyad Kabul, both Iraqi nationals, were hanged at dawn. The executions came hours after IS posted an online video claiming to show pilot Muaz being burned alive.
BBC is mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
The news now in detail. President John Mahama yesterday inspected three power projects within the Tema metropolis in Kum to acquaint himself with progress of work. His visit to the project sites comes a day after the Minister of Power informed Ghanaians about efforts being made to address the energy crisis. The President visited the Sonon Asogli project and the thermal plant at Kum, as well as the Tema Senate thermal plant. Joyce Dichi reports.
The Sonon Asogli project, which produces 200 megawatts capacity power, has been shut down for about a week now for maintenance work. So is the Senate thermal power plant, which produces 110 megawatts. The visit by President Mahama to the three power projects afforded him the opportunity to see to the progress of work. At the Sonon Asogli site, he was hopeful that with half of it back on stream, the distress facing the country will be addressed. The President was optimistic that with ongoing power projects being undertaken by the government, the current situation would be a thing of the past.
Asogli, they are preparing the ground for their phase 2, which is 360 megawatts, and this plant is almost near completion, another 220 megawatts. And there are several other plants we are expecting, Amandi, Jacobson, GE 1000. And so we need to put in as much energy as we can in order to meet the growing demand in Ghana.
At the Pon Thermal Power Plant, KTPP, which is 100% state-owned, the President was assured that the project restarted in 2012 will be completed by the end of April. There, the President pleaded with Ghanaians to patiently wait as the issue is being resolved.
The Minister and his team are doing everything possible to try to bring on stream as much generation as possible. I know that some agreements have been signed to bring on emergency power in a couple of months to be able to ease up the situation.
The board chair of Senator Asogli, Afede, hope the restructuring of ECG will facilitate regular payment to all power generators. He said, with encouragement from the President, the company is now investing in coal as part of the energy mix.
Work has already started on feasibility studies to produce 700 megawatts from coal in the first phase. That would have meant 1,260 by Asogli by the time the first phase of coal is done.
The project manager of KTPP, Francis Aguino, said upon completion of the project, 220 megawatts of power will be added to the energy being produced. This will supply about half of Accra with electricity. Mr. Bunyo mentioned finance as a problem hindering the completion of the project, adding that 200 million euros will be needed.
Joyce Jechi reports in. Meanwhile, informal sector businesses which depend on electricity are worried about the frequent power cuts. When Radio Ghana toured parts of Accra to ascertain the effect of the load shedding on their businesses, some people in the sector said they experience 3 days outage and enjoy only 12 hours of power. This, according to them, is gradually taking them out of business. Safia Mutala and Godwin Alawire have the details.
Some of the places we visited were barbering shops, hairdressing salons, organizing shops, tailoring shops, and a cornmeal, among others. At Okunglu, the barbers locked up their shops and were nowhere to be found. Some were, however, spotted chatting with friends since there was no light for them to operate. At the 37 lorry station, a barber expressed his frustrations over the frequent power outage. A seamstress at Osu said customers refuse to pay more when there is power outage. This is because she uses a generator to sew whenever there is power outage. A corn mill operator at Okonglo said generators are too expensive and he cannot afford one. As a result of this, he is losing his customers as well.
Since we started the lights out, frankly speaking, our job is going down because 24 hours out, 12 hours on, and mostly to the on that it normally comes is from 6 to 6 in the night to 6 in the morning. If you so 6 in the night to 6 in the morning, you don't wait. So from this morning, lights out, so tomorrow 6, the lights will come. So we don't want to buy petrol, this is the day. So imagine, we are using the net at the same price, we use the same price. Yeah, you see, 5 feet for vibrant, 3 feet for shade is too bad because we are here since yesterday, no light, today to no light. How come my money? 3 days now, can't do anything. We use light to do everything as we are. That's what that one too bad.
Sometimes we don't get it to do our knitting and ironing and stuff, so it's very difficult for us to sew.
Do something there and Ukraine. Hi, Pa, my organizer. Do something bad, sir. No. Petrol no, what's packing machine no? Kakra NASA or petrol NASA. Maybe I'll pump it tire. Yeah, 70 pesos. The 70 pesos. What's packing generator no? A glass of check a crapa. Petrol NASA. Oko top petrol be 130. Into the phone bit my idea for one. I'm only on phone my. Generator. I know so 70 pesos. Also Muntia 80 pesos. Kwa Muntia. From maybe I'm from Muntia.
I'm a Baba Bank profession.
Yeah, the place is very quiet. You know, it's about the. So we are facing challenges. Nowadays, a lot is no more working. It affects me. I don't even get money. When people come in, they just complain, why, there's no light, and they'll go. People don't like the bait at all. They don't like using the bait at all. See, I'm planning to go to village because there's nothing is going on in the town. They think it's around 5:30 in the night. We are expecting it maybe tomorrow. I'm not sure because it can happen that it will be coming tomorrow and later we'll not hear anything from them. The money is not coming at all. There's a lot of challenges. I have a generator, but the generator too, there's a problem. And it's not all that best because when I'm using the generator, it looks like the machine is not functioning well, like the ECG. So I've not increased my price. After years, I think it's the normal part that I used to take. I'm not increasing that. The government should at least do something about it so that we can also benefit. Why should we suffer at this? Because we said we are getting independence. And what is the benefit of the independence? They do something about it.
Yeah, my name is Crawford. I operate a combat notice. People come, but there was no light. So because of that, yesterday evening.
Some of the places we visited were barbering shops, hairdressing salons, organizing shops, tailoring shops, and a cornmeal, among others.
Safia Motala reporting. Parents of Wharton Senior High Schools must brace themselves up to pay a little more in fees as a result of the power crisis. President of CHAS, Samuel Oferieje, told Radio Ghana that the increase in fees will enable those schools which have generators to buy fuel to power them. He said although the students currently pay some amount for utility fees, this is woefully inadequate to fuel generators. He spoke to Bubu Klinogo.
It has its implication on one, security, and secondly, the issue of studies in the evening, especially at this time when the final year students are preparing for their West Africa School Certificate examination, which are going to begin in the next few weeks. Indeed, some of them are even starting their project work in about 2 weeks. As far as security is concerned, you can imagine a school with a population of about 1,000 plus in the boarding house, and the lights are out. Even when we have scheduled lights out around 9:30, 10, we have problems with some of the recalcitrant students wanting to jump the wall and move out of the school. How much more when they are aware that the lights will go out, especially from about 6:37. When it's sunset.
So in the face of these many challenges, how are you managing the situation?
Let me quickly add that there are certain schools which have been able to acquire generators. I'm aware of that. Some parents have been able to help the schools to acquire generators. What is just needed is the fuel to power these generators. We've been looking at the opportunity of the GES and for that matter the ministry allowing those to charge a few cedis to buy the fuel and the engine oil. So I hope this time around these people in authority will quickly look at this issue and then help us to get these for them. But for those schools which have not gotten the generators, too bad. Except that I know a few have been able to buy lower capacity generators like the 5 kVA, which can only light, say, an assembly hall or a dining hall area where the students are cramped to do their evening prep and then studies. And I hope this issue of ability to pay will be considered. We are not talking of a situation where parents will be fleeced, but it has become a necessary evil. So if they are to be asked to contribute a little to acquire these generators to help the schools, I think so be.
In the wake of the pending senior high school final examinations, will you consider some emergency arrangements for your final year students?
Oh, yes. What we need to do now is to make the best out of the day. So what it means is that we have to realign or adjust our programs in such a way that the day will be utilized maximally. For instance, by 5:30, when it's a bit clearer, can we get the students getting to the classroom to do something before they go and prepare, either clean the school, have their baths, and then get back to school? If it will mean co-curricular activities to be played down a bit so that the day will be used maximally, I think we'll have to quickly realign our timetable and see how best they can make the best use of the day.
President of CHAS, Samuel Oforeji, talking to Bubu Klinogo on the energy crisis. Meanwhile, the public relations officer of the Komfuanochi Teaching Hospital, Kwame Frempong, says the hospital has procured a standby plant to augment its power supply in case power goes off.
Not very much, because we have a very robust backup system. Again, to think this, an alternative power source in 2004, when a lot of investment was made in the acquisition of generating plants for the hospital. At the moment, we have all heavy demands that have combined capacity of 1,080. The installments are adequate or whenever there are supply challenges. Fortunately for us, the ECD tries as much as possible not diverse power. In instances where they are unable to help us, the situation is beyond their control, and we are putting up the national grid. We have backup and that
PR of the Komfuanochi Teaching Hospital, Kwame Frimpong. Investigative journalist Anas Aremiyal Anas says measures outlined by the Gender Ministry to curb the maltreatment of children in orphanages are in the right direction. He, however, believes implementation and monitoring should be a priority in ensuring that the problem does not recur. Aremiyal Anas was reacting to comments by the Gender Ministry after his expose.
Well, I think it's a step in the right direction, but should we just leave it up to that? You recall 5 years ago when Osu Children's Home was done, that was even more than this, because it was not just a press conference, a committee was set up to look at it. And an 85-page recommendation came out. The question is, what has been done with those recommendations? So it will not just be about talking, but it's about implementation. Because, of course, if there was monitoring within these homes, and this is just one of them, I know there are several other homes whose activities are even worse than what has been published. So it's good. It's a step in the right direction, but we have to wait and be careful. We don't have to pass judgment immediately. We've got to be sure that what has been said are implemented.
How were you able to do this one, especially taking into consideration the fact that you've done a similar one before? How different is this one from the previous one that you did?
Well, significantly, this is not different from what was done earlier. It's not different. But actually, the motivation is that the first one did not yield any results. In spite of all the noise we made, nothing happened. So I felt that after 5 years, I should go back to that topic. But that maybe officialdom will listen and do some money. You see, what we ought to know is that once institutions decide not to act, or decide not to work, it's at the peril of the children's life. No one knows how many kids die as a result of such ill treatments that are meted out to them in not just this orphanage, but several other orphanages that are dotted across the length and breadth of Ghana. And this is worrying. Once the people paid to do that job, they should be able to do it. Also, I know that the ministry is also not giving enough financial support. So it's everybody ought to be blamed here, civil society. Are we ensuring that we are checking orphanages that are around us? Government, is government giving enough money to caregivers or better to the social welfare to ensure that they do proper monitoring? It virtually has become like a money-making venture. Anybody who wants money decides to put out 11 children and then starts making money. And nobody goes to monitor. In this instance, it's not just going to be me, but civil society would also join so that we ensure that we put the right amount of pressure on officialdom to ensure that there's a better future for this orphan child.
Okay, so what should we expect from you again, Anas?
Well, what you should expect from me, we should also expect from you, all of us. We just have to keep our eye on the things that are supposed to act. We have to ensure that what the minister said is done. And then we also have to keep our eye on the orphanages around us to ensure that children are not physically abused or their rights are not being trampled upon, as happens in this particular instance.
Investigative journalist Anas Aremeyau Anas. Meanwhile, a lecturer at the Department of Social Work of the University of Ghana, Akosi Ajimeng, has called for strong social protection policies to cater for the needs of vulnerable children. She says the country needs to go back and strengthen the extended family system, which used to serve as a social protection unit. Until this was done, the country will continue to encounter problems, especially with regards to abuse of children. Madam Ajimeng spoke to Georgia Sekri on Behind the News.
The extended family system initially was taking care of all these problems. You will not have a child in a family without anybody taking care of that child. But now we are moving from this extended family to nucleation, and we leave our children, we go to work, we go to our marketplaces. Most of the children you see on the street, they have mothers, they have fathers, but work has taken them away, and the children are also doing whatever they want to do outside. That social protection system that we have is now dwindling. And if we want to go back to the days where we were each other's keeper, then we need to go back to the extended family system, strengthen it in such a way that each of us can take care of any child that comes out of that farm. And so we do that, we'll continue to have this problem that we are having.
How do we prevent it from further deteriorating on that trend?
Let us know, sensitize people to realize that your brother's child is your child. Where we cannot do it, then the government must come in. We don't have a strict policy that caters for children. But the Department of Social Welfare is there. They are not well resourced. They don't have the capacity to do all these things that other NGOs are doing to think about all these problems that we are having. So if we want to strengthen it, then one way we can do is to go back to government, let there be policies in place so that the Department of Social Welfare, who are mandated to do this work, will be strengthened to do it. And then also collaboration with NGOs and then training institutions.
Madam, does it sound normal for a parent? Sometimes they are both alive and they will send their child or children to an orphanage.
It does not sound right, but that is what is happening. Those children in the orphanages are not children whose parents are dead. We have about 50% of the children in the various orphanages with their parents alive, but because of poverty, they drive these children there. It's just like school feeding. They will ask them to go eat and come home because they don't have the money. And so when you feed them plenty at school, that doesn't mean that it has increased enrollment or attendance. They are only going to eat, and when they finish, they come back home. But then we make noise as if something is being done. Nothing is being done. And we should face the fact and say that, look, we have a problem. We have a crisis that we need to deal with. But we think that anything goes for politics, or we talk, and we do nothing.
Madam Ajima was, however, against the closure of the Bodjuasi orphanage, even though what happened there was unfortunate. She said government should rather resource the orphanage and employ qualified personnel to manage.
I don't think it is the right option now for closure. Now, the reason is some of the children, that you go there and there may not be any proper records as regards to how the children come to the orphanage. And so if you said they should go, where should they go? Do they all have their parents around Bodjuasi? So we have to take time. Now the case is, everybody is talking about it. But let us take our time, go into it. What happened there wasn't right. But at least the government can put it right by doing certain things, maybe going for the proper records and trying to resource the home, getting other personnel to man the home, rather than saying that I'm closing up. If you close up right now, where do you take the children?
Lecturer at the Department of Social Work of the University of Ghana, Akosua Ajimang. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: President Mahama again assures Ghanaians of government's resolve to address energy crisis as they inspect three power projects in Tema and Kpong. Senior high school students to pay additional fees to fuel generators due to power crisis. ACE investigative journalist Anas Aremeyawa Anas welcomes measures outlined by Gender Ministry to curb maltreatment of children in orphanages. And football, host nation Equatorial Guinea fined $5,000 and Tunisia $50,000 for March offences at AFCON 2015. Please stay tuned. Welcome back. The Ghana Chamber of Commerce and Industry is calling for a strong partnership with GVC to promote the growth of the private sector. The Chamber believes Ghana's economic growth is tied to the growth of individual businesses. The President of the Chamber of Commerce, Seth Ajeba, made this known at a meeting with management of GVC in Accra.
As if we are talking of more politics rather than talking of the development of the nation. And if you are talking about the development, it's about the works of the private sector. How do we push to create the jobs? How do we push to increase wealth? By increasing the wealth of every individual, we are increasing the wealth of the nation.
President of the Chamber of Commerce and Industry, Seth Ajeba, the Director General of GBC, Major Albert Donchebe, said GBC is well positioned to partner any institution for national development. He said the corporation has what it takes to collaborate effectively with the private sector for a win-win benefit.
There are a lot of things we can do together, and we believe that a lot more cooperation, collaboration between agencies, private sector, and the public sector will grow our economy, make this country more prosperous. More prosperous people are the foundation on which public broadcasters like us will also grow.
Director General of the GBC, Major Albert Donchebe. 65,000 hectares of Ghana's forest plantation are destroyed every year, and should this trend continue, it will have serious repercussions on the country's water bodies, the environment, and wildlife species. The chief executive of the Forestry Commission, Samuel Afare Date, gave the caution at the signing of a memorandum of understanding for the Ghana Rubber Estates Limited to hand over 40 hectares of its concession at Ewidua in the Wasafia State Traditional Area to the Forestry Commission to preserve biodiversity. The agreement is for 5 years and renewable. Mr. Afare Date elaborates further.
If a percentage of forest cover is lost, it affects our cocoa yield. And if it affects our cocoa yield, it obviously affects the revenue that Ghana expects to receive from cocoa. And that is why it is very important that we protect the forest to continue to provide the goods and services that it's made to provide. It's not just the relationship between cocoa and the forest. It's also about ailments like bronchitis, asthma, and so on and so forth that depend on the ability of our forest to absorb the carbon dioxide in the environment. It's also about the watershed management, where forests protect the water bodies that we have in this country. Brimsu, Ayinsu, and Dinsu is protected by the Atiwa Forest Reserve, and these water bodies supply about 60-70% of Accra's water needs, and therefore that's the reason why it's important that we protect this particular forest reserve. Climate regulation, food security are all part of the functions of the forest, and then for the consequence of also its absence. You see, when you talk about lands or any kind of property, they are regulated and backed by the prevailing laws of a country. Forestry cannot just go and take someone's land and say, because forest is important, I've come to confiscate your land. It must be a voluntary action. That is why I'm very proud of Ghana Rubber Estate Limited, that they've acquired land at a very high cost to plant rubber and make profit. However, in view of the enormous benefit of the forest in terms of the kind of things that I've mentioned, they've come to collaborate with the Forestry Commission to protect, manage and develop this land for biodiversity purposes and not pure financial purposes. There's no way the Forestry Commission alone can protect the lands that we have. No country has succeeded in doing that. It's always been a collaborative effort. The police, the judiciary, all of us must come together to be able to protect this very valuable asset.
The corporate affairs manager of Grill, Joseph Gabra, signed for his organization, saying Grill has acquired more lands and decided to hand over the Awudua lands to be used for the preservation of biodiversity. In international news, Jordan has executed two convicts, including a female jihadist, following the killing of one of its Air Force pilots by Islamic State militants. Officials said the woman, failed suicide bomber Sajida al-Rishawi and al-Qaeda operators Ziyad Kaboli, both Iraqi nationals, were hanged at dawn. The executions come hours after ISIS posted an online video claiming to show pilot Muaz al-Kusabe being burnt alive. He was seized after crashing during an anti-ISIS mission over Syria in December. Football. CAF has banned Mauritanian referee Rajendra Pasada Sinchen 6 months and slapped a $50,000 fine on Tunisia for insolent, aggressive and unacceptable behavior of its players and officials after the Africa Cup of Nations quarterfinal match in Bata, Equatorial Guinea. The host nation equalized a controversially awarded stoppage time penalty and went on to a shock 2-1 win over Tunisia last Saturday in Bata. When the final whistle sounded, riot police had to protect the match officials from furious Tunisian players. According to a CAF statement, host nation Equatorial Guinea have also been fined $5,000 for pitch invasion and warned to tighten security at match venues ahead of the semi-finals. Meanwhile, the CAF referees committee regretted the poor performance of Sichuan in the quarterfinal match. The Mauritanian referee has been sent home from Equatorial Guinea and dropped from CAF's elite referees panel. The leopards of DR Congo will today lock horns with the elephants of Cote d'Ivoire in the first round of the semi-finals of the Cup of Nations tournament in Equatorial Guinea. The Ivorians are aiming to reach their second final in 3 years and ease the pain of losing on penalties to Zambia in 2012. The Elephants' current coach, Hervé Renard, was in charge of their chief Polo Polo that day, but says he's not spoken to his elephant squad about his victory over them. DR Congo have reached the final four of an AFCON tournament for the first time since 1998, in which they finished third. They last made the final in 1974, winning the competition then as Zaire. Cote d'Ivoire have made it to the semi-final for the fourth time and sixth Africa Cup of Nations. This will be the first time the two sides have met in the knockout stage of the competition. Ghana will play host Equatorial Guinea tomorrow in the second semi-final match. Now to win the news, the main points again. In a move to resolving the current energy crisis, President John Mahama has inspected three power plants in Tema and Pung. President Mahama appeals to Ghanaians to continue to be patient as government puts in place measures to ease the challenge. Ace investigative journalist Anas Aremi Yao Anas has welcomed measures outlined by the Gender Ministry to curb the maltreatment of children in orphanages. Meanwhile, a sociologist has called for stronger social protection policies to protect especially vulnerable children. And the leopards of DR Congo will today lock horns with the elephants of Cote d'Ivoire in the first round of the semi-finals of the nation's tournament in Equatorial Guinea. The Ivorians are aiming to reach their second final in 3 years and ease the pain of losing on penalties to Zambia in 2012. This will be the first time the two sides have met in the knockout stage.